Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Jennifer Shannon, LMFT, presents Don't Feed the Monkey Mind as a practical self-help guide for people caught in recurring anxiety, fear, and worry. The book belongs to the anxiety management and cognitive behavioral self-help category, with strong attention to everyday habits that keep anxious thinking active. Its central metaphor is the monkey mind, a threat-sensitive part of the mind that tries to protect the person by scanning for danger, demanding certainty, and pushing for avoidance. Shannon does not frame anxiety as a personal weakness or as something that can be solved by arguing with every thought. Instead, she focuses on the behavioral cycle that strengthens anxiety when people seek reassurance, avoid discomfort, overprepare, or try to eliminate uncertainty. The purpose of the book is to help readers recognize these feeding behaviors and replace them with responses that reduce anxiety over time. Its value lies in translating familiar therapeutic principles into accessible language and concrete daily practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the monkey mind metaphor explains anxiety as a protective system that overreacts. The book uses the monkey mind as a clear metaphor for the anxious brain. Rather than treating worry as irrational nonsense, Shannon presents it as an exaggerated form of protection. The mind searches for danger, imagines negative outcomes, and pushes the person toward immediate relief. This framing matters because it reduces shame while still holding the reader responsible for how they respond. Anxiety is not depicted as an enemy to destroy, but as a primitive alarm system that often misreads ordinary uncertainty as urgent threat. The metaphor is especially useful because it separates the anxious signal from the reader's identity. A person can notice the alarm without obeying it automatically. This distinction supports a central therapeutic shift. The goal is not to prove that every fear is false, because many fears concern events that cannot be known in advance. The goal is to stop reinforcing the alarm by treating every anxious prediction as a command. By making the mechanism visible, Shannon gives readers a practical way to pause between anxious thought and anxious behavior. Secondly, avoidance and reassurance seeking are shown as the main ways anxiety is fed. A major argument of the book is that anxiety grows when people repeatedly choose short-term relief over long-term freedom. Avoidance, excessive checking, reassurance seeking, overplanning, and mental reviewing all reduce distress in the moment, but they also teach the brain that the feared situation was genuinely dangerous. This is the feeding cycle in practical form. If a person avoids a social event because of fear, the immediate drop in anxiety feels like success, yet the mind learns that avoidance is necessary for safety. If a person asks for reassurance whenever uncertainty appears, the reassurance becomes less effective and must be repeated. Shannon emphasizes behavior because anxious thoughts often cannot be controlled directly, while responses to them can be changed. This approach is grounded in the logic of exposure, and cognitive behavioral therapy anxiety diminishes when people experience discomfort without performing the protective ritual. The book, therefore, encourages readers to identify their own feeding behaviors, not merely their worries. That emphasis makes the advice more actionable than general encouragement to think positively or calm down. Thirdly, the book targets intolerance of uncertainty, perfectionism, and over-responsibility. Shannon identifies several mental rules that commonly drive anxious behavior, especially the belief that uncertainty must be eliminated, mistakes must be prevented, and one must control outcomes for oneself or others. These patterns are important because they explain why anxiety often survives even when specific fears change. A person may stop worrying about one issue, only to transfer the same rule to health, work, relationships, parenting, or performance. Intolerance of uncertainty leads to endless forecasting and checking because the mind demands a level of proof that ordinary life cannot provide. Perfectionism turns normal human error into evidence of danger or failure. Over-responsibility makes the person feel morally required to prevent unlikely harms or manage other people's reactions. The book does not treat these rules as abstract personality flaws. It shows how they operate as daily instructions that produce anxious habits. By naming these drivers, Shannon helps readers move beneath the surface content of worry. The practical implication is that reducing anxiety requires changing the rule itself, not just solving the latest problem that anxiety presents. Fourthly, progress comes from allowing discomfort rather than trying to remove it immediately. The book repeatedly directs attention away from the impossible task of never feeling anxious. Shannon presents discomfort as something the reader can practice tolerating, not as proof that something is wrong. This is a crucial difference from many quick calming approaches. Relaxation can be useful, but if it becomes another way to escape anxiety, it may function like reassurance or avoidance. The alternative is to allow anxious sensations and thoughts to be present while choosing behavior that serves a larger purpose. This idea overlaps with exposure-based practice and acceptance-oriented therapy. the reader learns to move toward feared but safe situations in manageable steps, while resisting the urge to neutralize the feeling. The reasoning is simple but demanding the nervous system updates its expectations through experience, especially when the person discovers that anxiety can rise and fall without being obeyed. This makes the book more than a collection of coping tips. It teaches a different relationship to fear, where success is measured by willingness and behavioral flexibility rather than by immediate emotional comfort. Lastly, the book's strength is its practical focus on repeatable daily responses. Don't Feed the Monkey Mind is designed for application rather than theory alone. Its concepts are presented in a way that readers can use during ordinary anxious moments, such as before a difficult conversation, during health worries, or when facing an uncertain decision. The book encourages noticing the anxious message, identifying the feeding behavior it demands, and choosing a response that does not reward the alarm. This structure makes the material memorable because the reader is not asked to master complex clinical language. The guidance also respects how anxiety works in real time. Anxious thoughts often feel urgent, persuasive, and morally important. A practical framework helps readers respond before they become absorbed in debate with the worry. The book's exercises and examples are meant to build skill through repetition. That repeated practice is central because anxiety patterns are habits, not merely ideas. The more consistently readers decline the old safety behaviors, the more they create evidence that uncertainty and discomfort can be handled. This focus on everyday implementation distinguishes the book from anxiety books that mostly explain symptoms without changing behavior. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who experience chronic worry, fear of uncertainty, avoidance, perfectionistic pressure, or repeated reassurance seeking. It may be especially useful for people who understand that their anxiety is excessive, but still feel compelled to obey it. The practical benefit is a clearer map of the anxiety cycle. The anxious thought appears, the mind demands safety behavior, relief follows, and the pattern becomes stronger. By identifying that sequence, readers gain a concrete point of intervention. The intellectual benefit is its accessible explanation of why anxiety cannot be solved by certainty seeking or constant self-protection, compared with many self-help books in the anxiety category. Don't Feed the Monkey Mind stands out for its memorable central metaphor and its emphasis on not reinforcing anxious habits. It does not rely mainly on inspirational language, broad positivity, or lengthy theory. Instead, it translates core therapeutic ideas into ordinary decisions readers can practice repeatedly. Readers looking for a clinical textbook may find it too simplified, and people with severe or disabling anxiety may need professional support alongside it. Still, as a practical guide to recognizing and weakening the behaviors that maintain anxiety, it offers a focused and usable contribution. If you would like to support Jennifer Shannon LMFT, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.